Hello and welcome to Bastards and Broken Things, a podcast dedicated to House of the Dragon, Game of Thrones, A Song of Ice and Fire.
All of the above.
Brought to you by the lovely people at Fan Critical. And when I say they're lovely, they're mainly me and, of course, Gareth and the others. Yes, and that voice you did hear was Gareth. I'm your host, Sir Len. And yes, joining me, as always, the most famous squire in the realm.
Beloved.
The most trusty cupbearer in Westeros. It's Gareth.
Yep, most beloved squire, I think, is the latest.
Some would say Podrick Payne is the most beloved squire because of his legendary giant dick.
Yeah.
Remember that storyline?
Yeah,
that was bizarre.
I can't compete on that front. But,
yeah. So,
you know, what I lack in the downstairs department, yep. I make up for it with other gifts.
Okay. So you're like a bit of a Larys Strong sort of guy. Is that what you're saying?
Well, you're using... I mean, let's... Yeah, that's not who I want to be after today's episode.
No, Slug.
Yeah.
Slug Clubfoot man.
Yeah, he is.
Hate him. Anyway,
well, dickhead. Very slimy. That sounds like a hot take, to be honest.
Oh, it does. It does. But we'll get into those very soon. First and foremost, how are you? Got that in my notes.
Yeah, that's good of you to ask. I'm all right. I'm a little bit battered and bruised, as you know. You know, the Australian sun has got the better of me, and I've had to have a little operation, haven't I, on my nose, little procedure.
You have had to have that done, and you know, it's reminiscent. The way I look at you now, it's reminiscent of how Tyrion felt after the Battle of Blackwater. So you are very relatable right now, dear listener. Now, if you're a book reader, Tyrion lost his whole nose. And if you're a show watcher, Tyrion just got a really cool looking scar.
Yeah.
It looks like Gaz is going to have a scar.
Yeah, I'm going to have a cool scar.
He's not lost his nose.
And it will remind me of my heroic deeds that, you know, that have resulted in this
Mr.
scar.
Deeds. Yeah. Anyway, well, good to see you all right and healing.
Thanks.
That's the most important thing.
Yes.
I've almost recovered from my bout of plague that infected me for the last podcast.
Sounds horrendous. You doubled up as well, didn't you? You went, all right, I've got the flu. Let's see what else I can catch.
Flu, then some sort of gastro thing. So basically, it's been a bad week for me. But we're on the up. So, you know, it's all good, listeners.
And you know what's great? You know what? We haven't missed a beat with these hot takes, despite, you know, our respective ailments.
No, and I hope the listeners appreciate that. Despite our afflictions,
yeah,
we're still here.
That's
But of course, we're here to do hot takes. The way that works is as follows. We have just watched the episode. We have run to our chambers to give you our unsullied, unfiltered thoughts on the latest episode. Episode 6, titled The Princess and the Queen. All right. We finally made the jump, the big time jump.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think about the episode as a whole, my trusty squire boy?
I liked this episode. Well, obviously, we don't give blueberries at this point in the hot take. That's tradition dictates that we can't do
no
that.
Blueberries allowed.
So no blueberries. No blueberries. But I will say I liked the episode. As much as I was dreading losing the Alicent and Rhaenyra of the first few episodes, because they were great and they were, and it felt like they were growing into the role as well, kind of the roles. I think they followed it up with another couple of really good actors who are bringing slightly different vibes to these characters. And
well, Gareth, I'll stop you there. Should we morph this as it's progressing as a conversation? Should we morph this into hot take one?
Yeah, go on.
Which I've written here is the older actors they've wowed me.
Wowed you?
Because I was worried, Gareth, about this time jump, because the younger actresses were very good. And the biggest compliment I've written in my notes here is the fact that I didn't even think about the younger actors. when I was watching this episode, I thought this was fantastic. I genuinely are just astounded by how good they were. Genuinely.
You were wowed.
I was wowed. Wow, wow, woo-wah. I was, wowed. And that's my first hot take. I was like, you know, I just was worried that they weren't going to be able to continue the amazing head of steam that the young actresses had done, and they wouldn't feel connected and they'd feel disjointed. But boy, they don't feel disjointed. They feel like a natural evolution of the characters that we had seen, especially if you just left them and then picked them up 10 years later.
It's like an extrapolation, yeah. Isn't it? Like, if it was a graph that, you know, we saw progression points for every year and then suddenly there was a 10-year jump, it would just follow the trend, wouldn't it? And they'd end up where you kind of expect them. But it is a jump.
Damn straight.
It is quite a jump. They are very different to the characters of episode one.
They're very different. And, I actually think... we'll talk more about this in the deep dive, but you know, before we went to this time jump, you kind of thinking Rhaenyra is a bit of a dick. She's fucked around Crispy. She's, you know, a bit arrogant and sort of still doing these really reckless teenager things. Alicent's got her head screwed on. I feel a bit sorry for her. And by the end of this episode, fuck me, I'm fully on team Rhaenyra. Fuck Alicent, man.
Yeah.
Fuck her. Well, fuck her whole team. I, you know, there's nothing, I will talk about this, there's nothing likable about her side of the divide now.
Yeah. If I just get me a little notebook open, I'll tell you two lines that I've written here. Alicent,
go on.
More of a dick. Rhaenyra, less of a dick.
Less of a dick.
And I think that sums it up.
I really do. And you know, we'll talk about it more in the deep dive, but yeah, God, the way that Alicent has soured over the years and Rhaenyra has obviously had to deal with her as she has soured is really come through in that episode. I thought it was some pretty good stuff. Do you want to go on to hot take two for you, Gav? Hot take two?
Can I maybe just building on that, a little bit of character transition kind of thing.
Ooh.
And if we go back to a little mini rivalry that started in episode one, Crispin versus Daemon. I think in this episode again, Sir Criston comes across as a massive bellend.
Yeah,
he's lost it
as and well. Him and Alison are like bickering like high school fucking mean girls down the hallways.
Walking weird. Down the hallways, like pushing kids into lockers and...
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah. Fucking bizarre. Chewing absolutely gum. Bizarre. And then he's like, he says the C word. It's like, that was beneath me, Your Grace. And they both like look at each other and have a little chuckle.
It wasn't beneath you bitch. Was it? You little sewer rat.
unbelievable.
He's turned so dislikable, which is incredible when... Like, I think we all really liked him. And although he kind of made a big mistake and then made a terrible mistake, you're like, oh, fuck, I kind of feel for him. He's gone into a bad place. And now it's like, this is him. The other side of that coin is Daemon. I reckon, you know, I haven't read these books. But I have a feeling like the events of this episode that concerned Daemon might change his character again. But at this stage of proceedings, he came across as a wholesome, like family man, which was kind of nice. And I'm a little bit confused by Daemon. I'm like, are you supposed to like him or not? But at this point, I liked him. I thought he seemed like a nice guy.
Daemon is a very confusing character, and that's why I like him, because he surprises you every week. I know people think he's a dick, like John says he's a wanker, but, you know, I think he's one of the more likable characters left in the show at this point, and that will segue beautifully into my hot take, which is hot take number three. That Laena and Vhagar scene, Jesus Christ.
Mm.
It got me. I was fully like almost choked up with that scene. I don't know, something about the whole pregnancy situation again and that sort of evolution of the scene that we saw in episode one with Emma to now where she, you know, Lena hears about, you know, what they're thinking about doing and she's like, oh, fuck this, I'm checking out. And yeah. She just goes up to Vhagar. And number one, seeing Vhagar is amazing. Vhagar is one of the dragons that conquered Westeros with Aegon, with Balerion, and Meraxes, I think it was.
He's old and you can tell because he's got little whiskers.
Yeah. Yeah, he's old. And we wanted to see some dragon emotion. We just got some dragon emotion.
Yeah.
We got some dragon emotion and it was a beautiful scene. And Vhagar like looks at her and the music swells and he's like, I don't want to do this. And then he looks at her again and he's like, okay, I understand. And he does it. And I don't know, man, that whole scene I thought was stunning. I thought it was really good. It took my breath away actually because it's a bit of a departure from the books. Like something similar happens. We'll get onto it in deep dive. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like I was just like, wow. What a scene. I mean, horrible. I'm not discounting that, like, because the whole childbirth thing is just a real theme this season that they're going for, like how difficult it was for women back then and how, you know, they're basically just farmed for heirs, you know, and it's horrible and disgusting. But yeah, that scene really got me. Did it get you?
Honestly, I'm going to disagree with you a little bit.
Oh, no, that's not allowed. You'll be fired.
I don't know. For me, I was like, why has she done that? Like, I understand that it's probably, you know, at that point, like the hardest thing that you could imagine going through. But, yeah. Like, I don't know.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
I just sort of struggle to understand the motivations. Like, if she's like, right, this is too much. I can't go through this. Then wouldn't she still kind of want her unborn child to survive in that situation?
Yes,
and that's on the cards potentially.
This is debate. This is interesting. This is interesting because I think the show hadn't done a very good job of setting up the scenario that's happened here. Now, look, not to say that you're not wrong. Of course, they could have, he even talks about it, like, you know, trying to save the baby, but the surgeon doesn't seem too convinced about that situation.
Mm.
I will say that in the book, she dies during a stillbirth. So the baby is already dead. Which is horrible. So I think what they've tried to do is say that they've been at it for a while and the baby is dead, basically.
Yeah, you know, but they didn't say
that's not coming out.
You know,
and no, they didn't. I do think the show has made a little error there. You know what I mean? I think they haven't really shown that enough. So from Lena's perspective, I think it's. They're going to do that. They're going to cut her open. The baby's already dead. She's going to die a horrible death. And she wants to take ownership over the situation.
Yeah.
That's where I think she's coming from. That's a bit of book knowledge. And I can understand how someone in the show might think that's a selfish decision from her to not try and save her child. It's interesting. It's an interesting conversation.
I'm not necessarily saying it's selfish, but just the show had set her up at this point. Like, it's almost like a new character 10 years on. She's not a kid. Yeah. She's
a good character. She's a good character.
I quite liked her. But she was set up as like a very, she seemed like a very sort of dedicated mother, like had a couple of kids that she was obviously close to. She seemed to quite like Daemon, like even if it wasn't sort of massively romantic. Like,
I thought they had quite a good little
thing. Yeah, yeah. No, it was all,
I was surprised by Damon.
Yeah, no, they did. It was at odds with what had come before, I think, and what we saw in that scene. But hey, I'm looking forward to hearing what the rest of the gang think. Definitely.
It just struck me as quite a powerful scene, and I'm gutted to lose that character as well. Like, I think she had a lot of promise. I knew that her death was coming. I knew it was coming in this episode when I saw she was pregnant. But I was just shocked by the way it happened. We'll get into the actual details of the book stuff in the deep dive, because there is a moment with Vhagar, so it's very interesting.
Shall I give you a hot take?
Well, that's what we're here for, isn't it?
Suppose we are. While we're talking about relationships that are kind of cool between Targaryens and Valyrians, I quite liked the Rhaenyra Laenor setup. I know there were at a point here in this episode where it seemed like, you know, tensions were there and the relationship was sort of strained, but it seemed like it had been quite functional. Like, and they kind of, I quite liked their relationship. They seemed almost like they were mates and they understood. Like,
yeah.
And
no, I yeah.
Yeah, it was if it wasn't for this problematic element of of Rhaenyra's kids having dark hair, everything would have been going 100% to plan.
Yes, the old hair in King's Landing situation.
Such a big deal to them, isn't it?
Big deal, massive deal. Well, let's be honest. Most Targaryens have bright blonde hair, and Valyrians have blonde hair, and Targaryens have blonde hair. So it's a bit weird. So I can understand the issue there, but yeah, I think Laenor actually. I think I really like the actor playing older Laenor. I like his demeanor. I like the way that he's tried to, and him and Rhaenyra are working as a team. Mm. I think that's really important. You know, Alicent's quite isolated, really, because Viserys is always going to be on Rhaenyra's side. But at least at this point, you know, Rhaenyra has an ally in Laenor. So I do like their dynamic. It's a shame. Moving on to another hot take, it was quick, sorry, okay. Because it's tied into it. It's a shame now that because of Clubfoot, they fucking lost their real dad. You know, Jacerys and Joffrey and the other one, can't remember his name. Sorry, it'll come to me.
Lucidian.
Lucarion.
No, they're all named after Pokemon.
Sorry. Yeah, of course. Wow, another shocker. To be honest, a big bone of contention in the books, they just die in a fire, and there's like this rumor like, oh, Daemon did it, or oh, it could have been actually the Sea Snake, because he was annoyed about loads of the fact that, you know, all this other stuff happened. And then some people are like, oh, but it could have been Larys. Because then he gets to inherit everything. And people are like, So you don't really know what's happened. They just die in a fire. But this show, man, they just keep saying, hey, we're going for the most fucking disgusting, twisted version of events. And I'm all in for it. I really am enjoying their interpretation of these historical moments and giving us real canon now.
Well, I mean, yes. Here's the thing. Here's a way of looking at things, though. If the book is giving you a couple of perspectives, couldn't the show just be giving you a perspective? Like, this...
No, it's showing... I think it's showing us
canon.
I think it's show and tell. I think this is like... There's no... unless you were to see a dream sequence or something, there's no interpretation. This is literally... No, this is what happened. And it's quite clear in my mind that Larys is the new dickhead in town.
Yeah.
So,
absolute scum.
You know, Team Alicent, you've got some great players. You've got Clubfoot, who's a dickhead, a little slug man. You've got Alicent, who's turning into a fucking dickhead. Although she does show some remorse to what his actions are at the end. I think that is a saving grace for her a little bit at the moment. But then you've got fucking Prince Aegon. He seems like a dick. And you've got fucking Crispy.
Yeah.
And I will say, I really like Harwin Strong. I thought he was really cool in this episode.
He was.
He's a cool guy.
It was a little bit strange to me how little we had seen of him before this.
Yeah, yeah, the Strongs, yeah.
But yeah, he came across well. Just a little mini hot take. It's not a full one. It's more like a warm presentation.
Tepid take.
Was just on Aegon. Doing his...
Played by David Tennant's son.
But doing his best Roman Roy / Homelander impression.
Oh, fuck yeah. Yeah.
Caught out by his mum.
Jesus, that was a weird scene, man.
That was bizarre.
Yeah, fucking hell. Anyway, I'll round it off with this, Gareth. Viserys is alive.
Yeah, that's my...
He's bloody alive. That's, go on then, that's take my, it away.
I wrote it as hot take 4, actually, which is bizarre. But mental that he's still there, and even at the end of the episode, I was like, "Oh right, okay. Well, he's gonna die at some point. Oh, he's sitting down in that chair that we all thought he'd died in last time. Surely this time he'll just close his eyes and that'll be that." But no, he's there, missing an arm, which is probably a good thing for, you know, all of his rivals, because they look at him and go, "Don't worry about him. He's armless."
Yeah, good one. He looks like Bilbo after Bilbo gives the ring to Frodo, and the next time they see Bilbo, they're like, "What the fuck has happened to you, mate? Jesus Christ!"
That little monster version, like,
yeah, he's full Gollum in Return of the King, sort of mid transformation,
like, little strands of hair.
Yeah, it's fucking, his teeth look like they're all jagged and shit. I'm like, "Oh my god, mate, you've seen better days." But, you know, I feel sorry for the guy. He's like, he's so deluded still. He's sitting there going, "Look, Lionel, look at the boys having a good time in the yard. This is what I want, you see. Our family to be united and strong." And then literally next minute, they're all fucking at each other's throats. And it's this big scene, you know, causes almost a civil war.
He doesn't want this. He just wants to chill out doing his little Lego set.
It's such a shame, isn't it? He is possibly the nicest character we've seen in Game of Thrones. And because he's king, he's quite, like, you know, protected. He's not going to die a stupid death necessarily. And then he's just, because of his actions, he ends up, you know, causing the death of thousands, tens of thousands. And, you know...
Spoiler warning.
It's interesting. Well, no, I'm just saying, we all know this leads to civil war. Otherwise, what sort of fucking boring show would this be? So it's just interesting to see how his weakness, even though it's kindness and niceness, has essentially, you know, leads to these huge, you know, ramifications that his actions have. It's crazy.
I think big picture. That's, you know.
Well, he's not. He is thinking big picture with that dagger shit, but he's not thinking big picture. Hey, come on, mate, just sort your shit out in the next 20 years.
Yeah, think slightly smaller picture, but still quite big picture.
Think smaller but bigger, yeah? All right? Right, listeners, if we go any more, it'll be a deep take. And we don't do that right now. We do the hot take right now.
That's right. Yeah?
Okay. So you know what to do. Tune in a few days' time to catch me and some other members of the small council as we run through the deep details of episode 6, The Princess and the Queen. Of course, you can write to us at fancriticalpodcast@gmail.com and give us your thoughts. You can also reply to us on social media, or, you know, that just let us know how you're doing. Leave a review, subscribe, whatever. It's all up to you. But if you leave us some feedback, we'll look at it, we'll consider it, and we might read it, and we might answer it. So lots of possibilities there, isn't there, Gareth?
So many.
That's fancriticalpodcast@gmail.com. The email is in the show notes. Thank you to my trusty squire, the most famous cupbearer, little Gareth. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And I have been your host, Sir Len. I will speak to you all in the next few days when we have rummaged through the deepest depths of episode 6. See you then.
Serving your own wine, so...